Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on before you and break bread every Saturday morning. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and their worship service starts at 10 a.m. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, you can actually call this number, 917-388-4161, to listen to their Bible study live. And they also have Bible studies every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on YouTube, Facebook, and their website is comingtothelight.org. It's comingtothelight.org. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song, amen.
Look around. Tell me what you see. Nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names, illiterate and unable to read, not even the Bible. Look around. Tell me what you see. Earthquakes, natural and man-made disasters, political unrest, famine, war, poverty and disease all around us. The truth of God being trampled and Jesus being scorned by a world in desperate need to encounter him. Tell me, what do you see? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And Jesus Christ, the only answer for the world, lives in you and moves through his body, the church. Yet the world says that the church is losing its influence. This cannot be, not on our watch. May the eyes of this generation be opened. 1/6 of the world's population is hungry. Half of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day. Half of all the children in the world live in poverty. More children die from drinking bad water than HIV, AIDS, and malaria combined. And water is the most abundant resource on the planet. Look around. What do you see? Church, how will we respond?
Father, fill us to full and overflow. Let praises rise.
From the inside of me.
Father, may you delight
in the inside.
Delight
in the inside.
From the inside of me,
oh,
all I know, right now. The altar is open. Confess it before him. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Father, which is my reasonable service. Now fill me, Father, right where I am. Fill me. Fill my mind. Fill my thoughts. There's none of me, and there's all of you.
Praise the Lord. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Till there's none of me and all of you. Is that your confession? All I want them to see is you, Father. You be glorified. You be lifted on high. Because it's all about you. I decrease that you may increase. Hallelujah. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glory. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Go get into the word, man. Talking to my son last night. And he asked, Daddy, what you gonna preach on tomorrow? You know it's Halloween coming up. It's Halloween. And it's interesting that this year that Halloween is on a Sunday. We'll get into that later on. Halloween is on a Sunday. I'm not going to preach about Halloween, but we're going to touch some things that speaks about Halloween. We'll get into the word, amen. Coming out of the book of Genesis, the second chapter. We're going to do a little reading. You got to lay a foundation, amen. Genesis, the second chapter, starting at verse 7. Genesis, second chapter, starting at verse 7. And it reads, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now let's drop down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Listen to this, verse 16 again. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So every tree in the garden, you can eat without a price. It's free. Won't cost you a thing. But then verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, that tree that is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. So there's a price to be paid if you eat of that tree. And that price is death. The wages of sin is death. That's the price of it. Now let's go to the third chapter, verse 1. Genesis 3rd chapter, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. See here, Satan is twisting words, and then the woman is making up words. Satan asked her, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Trying to get her to question what God said. And then she said in verse 3, well, verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So he said, God told Adam, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. But Eve said, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So she was making up a word. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. He didn't say, no, God didn't say that you can't touch it. But he said, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So this is interesting, because Satan is telling her, telling them, not her, them. I'll show you that in a minute. Satan is telling them, you shall not surely die. For in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes shall be opened. Now, when we go back and look in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So it was pleasant to the sight. So their eyes were already open. And then it said, you shall be as gods. Well, when we go back to chapter 1 in verse 26, it reads, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So they're already like God. See how Satan twists the words of God? Knowing good and evil. Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, when she saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And over in Genesis 2 and 9, it says that the tree is pleasant to the eye, to the sight, and good for food. Every tree is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So when she saw this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says that she saw that the tree was good for food, but she didn't need it because she had every other tree in the garden to eat from. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, where did she get that from? She already had the wisdom of God. But she was having this conversation with Satan. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She took it and ate and gave also unto her husband with her. So that's where the them, when I said Satan said to them, say, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So during that whole conversation between Eve and the serpent, Adam standing right next to Eve, allowing it to happen. See, we don't hear that often. We hear that it was the woman's fault. Eve is the one who sinned. Well, God told Adam, in the day that you eat, he gave him specific instructions. The woman eating it then caused sin to enter the world. Because sin only enters through the seed of the man. Said, and Adam was with her, her husband with her, and he did eat. Adam was with her, and therefore, without excuse, he should have spoken up and protected his wife. and acted upon his authority, because God gave him dominion. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open. But that was a different sight. Now they were seeing naturally, whereas before they only saw things spiritually. So now their natural eyes were open. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. See how sin will make you act? Sin will make you think that you're blending in with the trees, hiding from God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Well, why is he running from the voice of God? Because every day, every evening, in the cool of the day, they would meet. So God showed up to the meeting, but Adam didn't. We'll say it again. God showed up to the meeting, but Adam didn't. He ran from the voice of God. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He hid himself. But did he really? Can't hide from God. Only God can hide us. No matter how dark of a situation we're in, we still can't hide from God. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Who are you talking to? Who are you conversating with? Who are you listening to? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? See, God knew what had happened because he sees everything. He knows everything. And he's everywhere. Gave Adam a chance to confess. But look what happened. Verse 12 says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Running from responsibility. He's the one who sinned, but he blamed it on the woman. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The trick of Satan. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. upon thy belly shalt thou go. Now listen to this. Listen to these words. He cursed the serpent. Now, the serpent, as we know now, slithers on the ground, the snake. But he said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go. So there was a time when the serpent had legs and feet. As a matter of fact, it's been said, I've personally have never seen this myself and don't care to, but it's been said that snakes have little feet underneath. I have to Google and YouTube that. But he cursed the serpent, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman. Remember, we said that sin entered through the seed of the man. But it says, between thy seed and her seed, the seed of the woman, and that seed shall bruise your head, serpent, and you shall bruise his heel. The title of the message this morning, I know that was a lot of reading, but like I said, I wanted to lay a foundation. The title of the message this morning is, what did I say? What did I say? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you would have to say to us, to equip us, to make us ready, to build us up, to encourage us, to prepare us to go into this world and do what you called us to do. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank you, Father, for allowing him to take the sins of the world to the cross and to down the cross, Father, defeating sin and hell and the grave and death. And Father, thank you for allowing him to go to hell for us, God. And then for him to defeat Satan and take the keys of hell from him. And thank you for raising Jesus from the grave on the third day, God, with all power. Thank you for receiving him into heaven with this precious blood. Thank you for Holy Spirit, Father, our teacher, our comforter, our guide. And thank you for you, Almighty God, our creator, our Father. We thank you and we praise you, Father, just for who you are. Now, as we receive your word, help us to apply to our lives, God. That we may represent you, God. But not just represent you, but to represent you to the dark and dying world. For as the charge we heard this morning with the question, church, how shall we respond? We respond by glorifying you, by lifting you up, God, by praising you. Let the life that we live glorify you. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What did I say? This is the question that God was asking Adam. What did I tell you? Did not I say that in the day that you eat from that particular tree, that you will surely die? And you still ate from it. That question is still relevant for today. As I mentioned earlier, people are preparing for Halloween, and the sad thing is, people don't know the history or the origin of Halloween, where it actually came from, and the reason it was created. Halloween, everything about it represents evil. Just think about it. Picture in your mind now, Halloween. What do you see? Ghosts. Jack-o'-lanterns. Witches. Darkness. People disguised in costumes, hiding their identity. Everything about it represents evil, wickedness, Satan. And even things like trick-or-treating, going door-to-door, asking for candy. That represents something. Because the history of Halloween came from when the church during that day came together to pay homage to the dead, those who had died. And they would make bonfires, and they would send up prayers, trying to connect with the spirits of those who had died. Listen to that. Trying to connect with the spirits of those who had died. challenge you to do this. Do your own research on Halloween. I'm not gonna get into it. But do your own research on Halloween. And then look at the things that go on. Apple bobbing. The carving the pumpkins. Wearing the costumes. Going door to door. All of those things represent something. But the whole theme is all about fear. That's how Satan has presented this so-called celebration and worship of him through fear. That's why throughout the Bible, you hear, fear not, be not afraid. Have faith. What did I say? What did I say? I was at work the other day and I heard someone complaining because they haven't heard anything from the churches. These words. Haven't heard anything from the churches regarding Halloween. What were they going to do this year? Church and Halloween. Well, a lot of them don't call it that anymore. They call it harvest. They don't do the trick-or-treat. They do the truck-or-treat. See how Satan causes the words to be twisted? Did God not say? Participate in Halloween? Well, it's really harvest. And it's only, you know, good for the kids. The seed, remember, the seed. That's what children represent. Seed, the seed of the woman. So there's enmity between Satan and the seed. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4th chapter. Starting at verse 4. What did I say? So that's the question. For this quote unquote Halloween or harvest or whatever people are calling it. What did I say? I pray that question rings every time we think about Halloween. What did I say? Because if you eat from it, on the day. Not just on the day, but at that particular moment that you eat from it, you shall surely die spiritually. But then if you die spiritually, see, Adam and Eve were created to live forever because they were sinless. But once sin entered, so did death. Once sin entered, so did death. The wages of sin is death. Ephesians 4th chapter, starting at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Talk to the church. Talk to the church. Verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Talking about Jesus. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's why I say I thank God for allowing Jesus to go to hell for us. Because when he died, he didn't go to heaven first. He went to hell first. Because that was part of his assignment. That's what it's saying here. It said, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he descended to hell. He went to hell, and it says that he made an open show of Satan. Said he whooped them naked, stripped them of the keys of hell. That's what naked is. Being naked is being powerless. So when it said that Adam and Eve saw that they were naked is because they lost the dominion that God gave them. The power, the anointing. They were stripped naked. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we just touched this. We taught on it a couple of weeks ago. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, and it reads, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Why? Because he disobeyed God. What did I say? What did I tell you? What did I say? 1 Samuel, 28th chapter, starting at verse 7. And it reads, then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Listen to this. Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul, listen to this, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done. Now she's talking to Saul, but doesn't know it because Saul has disguised. He's hidden his identity. Got on his costume. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? She said, look, King Saul is killing witches and wizards and sorcerers and those who have familiar spirits. So why are you asking me to do this? I don't want to die. Verse 10 says, and Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Now, that's interesting because he's saying this, he's swearing by the Lord, but remember, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Be careful who you're listening to. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now remember when Saul had sinned, when God told him to wipe out the nation of Amalek, and he spared the king Agag, and he spared some of the what he called the good cattle, and made sacrifice to God. Samuel, the prophet of God, told Saul that God had taken the kingdom away from him. And then it says that after that encounter, that was the last time that Saul saw Samuel. The next time Saul saw Samuel was at Samuel's funeral. So Saul missed that companionship, that relationship, that fellowship that he had with Samuel, because Samuel represented God. He would get the word from God through Samuel. So he told the woman with the familiar spirit, said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." Now she recognized him. And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" What did you see? And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending to the earth." Now those gods that she mentioned, they were actually demonic spirits coming up from the earth. So that's what she saw. And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped his face to the ground and bowed himself. A ghost. See the similarity? Because he was involving himself with this ritual, this evil ritual it caused fear to come upon her. So be careful who you talk to. Just think about what God has said before we get involved with something that may seem innocent. Do your research. And think about this. What did I say in the day that you eat of it? You shall surely die. There's a price to be paid. Love you. God bless you. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of why we were created. To glorify you, God. To represent you, God. To represent you to this dark and dying world. Now help us, Father, as we go out into this world and do what you called us to do. Strengthen us, God. Encourage us, God. Build us up. Edify us, God. Through your word. And as we lift up your son, Jesus, that you would draw all men and women and children unto you, that they may ask, "What must I do to be saved?" So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that even during this time of what is called Halloween, we come against Satan and all the demonic forces. We plead the blood of Jesus over the people, God. Open their eyes, Father, their spiritual eyes, that they may see you. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We thank you for the victory now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What did I say? Thank you for calling in. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. God bless you. Love you.